So, oh, good morning, Ellie. So we are holding on Lamud Umud Bays, just above the middle of the Umud by the two dots. The line begins he. We said in the Mishnah that you're able to make an Eruv Tchumin for a Nazir using wine, even though the Nazir himself can't drink wine. And we said for Yisrael, you'd be allowed to use Truma, but Sumchus Oimer Becholin, we said that Sumchus had said that no, for Yisrael, you can make an Eruv Tchumin using only Cholin. So the Gemara points out, now we see that Sumchus is not arguing about a Nazir using wine. He apparently agrees that there's no problem using a wine for a Nazir for his Eruv Tchumen. The problem is only Truma for Yisrael. My timer, what's the reason? The reason is Efshar to Mitchell as an Anizirusay. Because when it comes to Nazirus, it's not a definite thing, because he could be Matur Neder on his Nazirus, and then he'd be allowed to drink the wine. As opposed to, there's no way for him to become a Kohen. But the question is, Yehochi Truma Nami Efshar de Mitchell Olavei. The question is, then, in that case, by the same logic, he could be Matir Neder as far as Truma, because Truma is the same way as, for example, a person donates something to Hekdesh, they're able to be Matir Neder afterwards. Now, okay, yeah, Beis Shammai holds that not, but fine, the halacha is not like them. The halacha is like Beis Hillel, that you can be Matir Neder on a Hekdesh as well, which includes Truma. So you could be Matir Neder and say, I don't want this part that I designated as Truma to be Truma anymore, and then it'll be Mutter. The answer is, okay, but if you do that, then it goes right back to being Tevil. You haven't accomplished anything because you're still not going to be able to eat it. You can't eat Tevil either. If you go and are Matir Neder and you say, I don't want these particular fruits that I designated as Truma, I don't want them to be Truma anymore, then you've just made the whole thing Tevil again, because then you've undone your designation of Truma. Tevil you can't eat either, so you haven't accomplished anything. So that's why Sumchus is saying that there's no way to make Truma Mutter for Yisrael. The question is, there still is a way. V'lifresh Allah mimakom acher. Why don't we do like this? He could do conceivably like this. He could be Matir Neder to make the particular fruits that he designated as Truma, make them not Truma anymore. Then what about the Tevil problem? What he'll do is he'll designate some other fruit of the same kind that he has elsewhere as Truma on behalf of that. So then in that case, he has a way of making this mutter to himself. The answer is you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take Truma from something that's not together, from produce that's in another place. So the expression of the Gemara here is that chaverim are not choshed to do that. Meaning, in other words, chaverim meaning tamer chachamim, or more broadly, it means people who are careful about trumas and maaseres. The Gemara is using that expression just because that's a common expression that it uses in a few other places in Shas in connection with these dinim. But here, what we mean is it would actually be osur.
Yeah. If l'chatchila you're on the boat. Remember the boat.
So they're actually, in the case of Rem Gamliel and the Chachamim that were on the boat over there, one possibility is we don't mean that he's first designating Truma for the first time. It can mean that he has already Truma designated and he's saying what needs to be done with it. Tosfos discusses the possibility over there that it was Shasa Bir. It was the time of Bir Maestris, when we say that you have to give away the various mice, the various trumas and maestros and trumas meiser and whatnot that you already have designated from before.
Then you have to hold
for Avril? Because then it was already designated from before.
But in this case...
Okay, anyway, Tosfos mentions over here that there are actually heterim to do to be totem shalom and amuk of the covered Shabbos, but that's where you actually need to eat them on Shabbos. Here, you don't need to necessarily eat them on Shabbos. Rashi in some places learns that Rashi and Tosfos elsewhere discuss the question of whether this that we're saying that you're not allowed to be totem shalom and amukov is that daraisa or darabanan. What Tosfos is mentioning over here, the fact that you're allowed to lekavod Shabbos, for example, suggests maybe more that it's darabanan, and therefore maybe we make exceptions when you're on a boat and you have no other choice, or when, okay.
So the main thing is not that you're making it back into non-truma and then you're taking something else to truma. is that you're not, that it's not all together?
No, the problem is that it's not all together, right? So if it weren't for that consideration, then you would be able to do that. And then according, then even according to Simchus, it would be fine. Okay. But the problem with that is, okay, so we have another alternative. What you say is fine. You have to take truma from minam mukaf. Okay, what you do is you designate part of the food that you have now in this container as truma on behalf of the rest. And therefore, fine, you'll still have enough of it to make you Eruv, and you'll still have truma within there as well. So you'll eat, if you wanted to eat it on Shabbos, the Eruv has to be something that you could eat on Shabbos, you'd be able to eat the rest, you'd be able to leave the part that you designated as truma as not. Okay, so maybe if it was liquids, maybe we'd say ein brera, and it wouldn't work there, but if it was solids, then for sure you could do that. You could say that, you know, the fruits that are on the north side of it are truma, and then eat from the south side, etc. The answer is the less bashiura. Okay, but we can be talking about there's not enough of a shear to do that. Let's say you put exactly 2 meals worth of food. So you don't have, you're only going to have, if you take some of it out as truma, then you don't have 2 meals worth left. Then you don't have two. So again, according to the Chachamim, none of this is a problem. Because according to the Chachamim, anyway, a Yisroel can use truma. We're not worried about that because, okay, he can't eat it, but somebody else can. A Kohen can eat it. But according to Simchus, we have to figure out what's the problem. And the answer is that, yeah. Okay, the problem, the question with that is, umai, what kind of answer is that? Poska, is it a given that you're always going to use exactly 2 meals worth? That Simchus should be saying, when are you not allowed to use truma? Only if you have exactly 2 meals worth. But if you have a little more, then you could. Especially keeping in mind that Daraisa, there's no minimum amount for truma. Midrabanan, you need 1/60th or 1/50th or 1/40th for truma. But Midraisa, you could do even one chita achas per teres zakri, one grain of wheat is enough to pater the entire pile of grain. As far as truma, so you could easily have a little more than 2 sodas. No, that's the point we were saying is that we just said that you're not allowed to be totem shaloi min amukaf. You're not allowed to take truma from something that's not adjacent, that's not next to the fruit that you want to be masakin. So that's why we said you can't. So in other words, again, the scenario is that you took, for example, let's say, you know, what did we say the other day? A calf of apples is enough for an Eruv Tchumen. So let's say you took a calf of apples of Truma and made it your Eruv Tchumen. The Chachamim would have no problem with that because, okay, you can't eat it, but a Kohen could. We're talking according to Simchus. So we're saying the problem is that if you were to be matur neder and if you were to be matur neder and say these apples shouldn't be truma anymore, then you've made them tevel and then nobody can eat them. So what we do is, so we're saying, why don't we, so we're saying you can't say these apples should become tevel again, and then I'll designate other apples that I have at home to be truma on behalf of it, because that's shalom and amukha if you're not supposed to do that. The fruit that you're designating as truma has to be there together with the other fruit. And we're saying you can't designate truma out of it because then you're not going to have enough. Then you're not going to have a calf of apples that are holed anymore because then the part of it is truma. But the problem with that last answer is that why are we saying as a given that you only have 2 meals worth when you could easily have a little more and then you have enough? Ella, no. Simchus savala k'rabanan. The reason why Simchus holds that wouldn't work is because he holds like the Rabbanan, the Amri, called Dava, Shobim, Shobim, Shavos, Gozru, Alabena, Shemoshes. The Rabbanan learn, we're going to learn later on in the Perek, that anything that is also mid Rabbanan is also to do Bena Shemoshes. Now, Bena Shemoshes is the time when the Eruv takes effect. So now, one of the things that's also the Rabbanan on Shabbos is to take Truma and Meiser. So therefore, so Bein HaShemoshes already, when the Eruv is taking effect, it's too late to be designating Truma. So yes, if you had more than 2 meals worth, you would have been able to designate Truma, but it's too late to do that now. So therefore, so if you did that before Shabbos, then fine. But then at that point, you can't say that you're out of the Truma. The case we're talking about over here, you're making an Eruv with Truma, means that at Bein HaShemoshes, it's still Truma. So therefore, Simchus says that's no good. Whereas we have other opinions later on in the parak that say that the general rule is anything that's also daraisa, you're not allowed to do bein hashemoshes. Things that are also darabanan generally, of course, you're not allowed to do bein hashemoshes either. But where it's l'divan mitzvah, you're allowed to. And here, for the purpose of making an eruv, then we allow it. In other words, in the sense that if the eruv is inaccessible, we're going to talk about later in the parak various ways in which an eruv might be inaccessible bein hashemoshes, but it's accessible if you're over on an isur darabanan. then Bein HaShemoshes will allow it. Not that you can actually do the Rabbanon, but you could do it in principle if you needed to. So therefore, but where Sumchos disagrees with that. By the way, the Bar Tanura has an interesting chiddush over here, which a bunch of the Achronim deal with the pros and cons of it. He learns that even according to the Chachamim, if it requires true shvusim in order to get to the food, then not. In this particular case, it would only require one shvus, namely to redesignate it as truma, to take some of it and designate it as truma. But where you would have to have true shvusim, then not. Fine. The question is, kiman ozla hodetnan. Now, so again, we have Sumchus who says that the food has to be roi for you yourself, and we have the Chachamim who don't worry about that and say that the food could be roi for a koyin, and we don't, yeah. So kiman ozla hodetnan. Which opinion does it go like the following Mishnah in Kalim, detnan, yesh sha'omru akol lafi mashahu adam. There are certain shiurim that depend on the person. So we said the Mishnah says over there are certain shiurim that are we learned this yesterday actually there are certain shiurim that are standard for everybody. Let's say, for example, when we say that a kezias, that you have to eat a kezias matzah, or that you have to that you have isurim of eating, which are also a kezias, keseves on Yom Kippur, etc. All of those are the same regardless of the size of the person. But then you have some that depend on the size of the person. Maloy kumtzay mincha, for example, the koimetz of a mincha, a koin with a larger hand is going to take a larger koimetz. Umaloy chafn of ktodos, the double handful of ktodos that the koin gadol brings into the kodesh hakadosh on Yom Kippur. Same thing, it depends on the size of his hands. On Yom Kippur, a person is chayev kores only if he drinks maloy lugmav, a cheekful of liquid, and so that'll depend on the size of the person's cheek. Over mazen shtei sudas la'erov, and when it comes to the two meals worth of food for the erov, so command, who would that be like? Amar Rav Zera sumchosi. So Rav Zera says, apparently that would be only according to sumchos. Oh, I forgot to mention in the previous thing, by the way. So if we're saying that kol davar shom shom shvus gazir ala bein hashmoshes, then how does that work in that case with a nazir with wine? You're not allowed to be matir neder on Shabbos either. But we learned at the end of Masechta Shabbos that you are able to be matir neder where it's letzorech haShabbos. So Tosfos says over here, good, this would be letzorech haShabbos. To make an Eruv Chatzeres, to make an Eruv Tchumen, rather. Especially, we're going to talk about later whether you can make it only Lidvan Mitzvah or not. So it would be at Tzorech HaShabbos, and therefore you would be able to be Matir Neder if you needed to. Since you would be able to, then therefore you're allowed to, right? Okay. No. If you're Matir Neder, you don't have to bring the Korbanos. Matir Neder, remember, when you're Matir Neder, that takes away the Neder to begin with. It's as if the Neder never existed. But so a Nazir also, if a Nazir is Matur Neder, he doesn't have to shave his hair, he doesn't have to bring his korbanos, he just goes back to being a normal person, yeah.
You didn't know that you would have been Matur Neder a long
time. Yeah, okay, onward. Okay, so again, so the question is Kaman. So when we say in this Mishnah in Kalim that there are certain shiurim, one of them being the two meals for an Eruv, that it depends on the amount the person eats, so that seems to be according to Sumchus. Where Sumchus says that you have to go according to what's suitable for him. Because according to the Chachamim, on the face of it, it shouldn't be. It should be a standard two meals for everybody. In which case, lema pliga adirab shim ben alazer. In which case, would we have to say then that this Mishnah and that Sumchos are arguing with Rav Shim ben Elazar? The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, we learned that in Amar Aleph. Rav Shim ben Elazar, I remember, arvin l'choylo l'zokin k'dei mezonoi. When it comes to a sick person or an old person, you go according to the amount that he would eat for two meals, which is less than the regular person. And on the other hand, for a person who eats more than the average, there you go according to two sodas of the regular person. So according to Rav Shimon Elazar, then it sounds like it doesn't necessarily need to be roi for him. We're saying that even for a ravton, you can have two regular meals, even though for him that wouldn't be enough for two meals. The answer is Taguma Acholav Azokin. The answer is that when we say when the Mishnah says, yes, she'omra, kol lefima she'odam, is not necessarily arguing with Rav Shimon Elazar. That could be talking about a sick person or an old person, where they were saying, lekula will go according to their shiur, even though that's less than two meals for the average person. Aval ravton, but we might say that when it comes to a person who's a glutton, eats more than usual, we could say, batla daita, it's a kol adam, it's not normal that a person eats so much for two meals, and therefore batla daita, and therefore we wouldn't consider it. So we would say, in other words, right, so we would say that it's two meals or whatever the person can eat for two meals, whichever is less. So that Mishnah still would be, according to Sumchus. Tosfos points out that actually maybe not, because that Tosfos points out that maybe indeed that Abanan would disagree with that Abanan, who say that the food doesn't have to be roi for him, it can be roi for anybody else, maybe indeed they would say that therefore for Chol or Razak, and we wouldn't say that, which is why we're saying, so again, Reb Zera is saying the Mishnah is specifically according to Sumchus. We can't necessarily make it work according to the Chachamim, because the Chachamim might indeed say, they who say that, for example, you could use truma for Yisrael, because even though he can't eat it, a Kohen could, they might by the same token say, okay, you old person can't eat two full meals, but somebody else could. Tosfos gives another answer as well, that maybe when we say Hakol Lefi Mashu Odom implies that it has to be something that implies itself, that it has to be something that you yourself can eat, namely, therefore, it couldn't be a Yisroel with Truma, and that would be another reason to say that that Mishnah goes specifically according to Sumchus. The Halacha, well, usually, usually we say Halacha Kistam Mishnah, but here in our Mishnah, we have the Chachamim disagreeing with Sumchus. The Halacha is like the Chachamim, actually. Because they're not them exactly right. So it would mean, in other words, Tosfos is the Gemara saying, and Tosfos is explaining why it sounds like that Mishnah and Kalim, at least on the surface, can't go according to the Chachamim. If we say it goes according to the Chachamim, then you would have to say that. One possibility that Tosfos is mentioning is maybe the fact that maybe for Chol or Razakin it could be less than two meals. Maybe the Chachamim would agree with that point, but they would say that according to the person's standard, but it doesn't have to be food that's roi for him. We said in the Mishnah ulakoyin bebeis apras. We said a koyin is allowed to make an eruv tchumen in a beis apras, which we said was an area where there was a cave over there where you plowed up the field, and midrabanan we say that pieces of bone may have been scattered all over the field. So why can a kohen make an eruv in a beis apras if he can't go in there? So the reason is the omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel min apeach adam beis apras v'holach, because a person is allowed to walk through a beis apras at blowing as he goes along, because that way if there's any fragment of bone over there, then he'll blow away the dirt and he'll see it. Again, if it's covered up by dirt, it's not a problem. It's not going to be metamehim ba'oil. Only if he touches or carries it. So he'll walk along, bent over, and blow on the ground as he's going along. And that way, if there's any bone there, he'll see it. It could be that he goes on all his hands and feet. It could be, well, maybe. It could mean that he does that. Could mean that he uses a long tube to blow on the ground at his feet, whatever. So in other words, there is a way for Kohen to be able to go through a beis apras. With this and with a bunch of the other things that we're going to discuss over here, the Rishonim get into the question. So are we talking specifically according to Sumchus, or are we talking according to the Rabbanon, or even according to Sumchus? Again, do we say because menapeachad and beis apras v'holach, therefore even Sumchus would be fine with it because you have a way of being able to do it? Or would we say that no, this is only according to the Rabbanon, whereas Sumchus wouldn't accept that heter? Tosfos a few blot earlier points out another point as well. You have, even if we say according to the Rabbanon, you do have something called huve eruve b'makom echad. Aside from the question of whether the eruv has to be something that you can eat, for example, wine. So then you have a problem with wine for a nazir, etc. You also have the consideration that he has to be able to physically get to the food of the eruv, and if it's in a place which is Tomei, he's not allowed to go to, he wouldn't be able to. So therefore, the Gemara is pointing out over here, there is a way for a Kohen to be able to go through a beis apras. Well, no, because doesn't he could send it with somebody else to put over there. We're going to learn that on Amud Reis. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami Mishmei de Rabbi Yehuda. Also, Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, there's another way that a beis apras can become mutter for a kohen to walk through. Beis apras shenidash tahor. If the beis apras was trampled on with people's feet, then it becomes tahor. Because once it was trampled like that, any bone that was the size of barley or larger will have either been broken up or embedded further into the dirt. And therefore, b'pashtus, what we mean is that Rashi says, "Shkvar nidshuat somas shabai v'nifchasu b'kasayra." Any fragments of bone will have gotten trampled and broken up into pieces smaller than a grain of barley, and then they're not going to be matame anymore. And that could be also that animals got there, but that's not the point. As long as we don't have shenidash, then we have midrabanan, the place is still considered a beis apras. But again, the point is there are ways for a beis apras, there are ways for a kohen to be able to go into a beis apras, and therefore he would be able to get to his eruv, and therefore would be mutter. Okay. So it's and we have that kula is brought in a few other contexts as well. For example, we say that a person who's on his way to bring his korban Pesach, if the road passes through a beis apras, he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to be menapeach and go in order to be because since the concept of becoming tamei from a beis apras is only dirabanan, whereas bringing the korban Pesach is an isukaris, then the chacham allowed him to make that exception. Yeah. Because the point is the whole concept of a beis apras is only derabanan, because on a daraisa level we don't assume that the plow ever got deep enough to break up the body in the first place. Midaraisa, we assume the body is still there in the kever where it was before. Only derabanan are we concerned about that bones may have been scattered all over. Okay. We said in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda Oima Af Beis HaKvaris that and Rabbi Yehuda says you could even put the Eruv Tchumen in a Beis HaKvaris and it would be fine for a Kohen because, so he said, we said in the Mishnah, because you could make a Mechitza and go and eat it. So what does that mean? Tana, we learn in a Braisa. Because what he could do is he could make a Chatzitza and go there in a Shida Teva Omigdal. A Shida is a coach. There's a coach, a closed up wagon. A teva is a box. A migdal is a cabinet. So in other words, he could have somebody carry him in there in a closed container, and then he doesn't become tummy. Kosava oihol zoruk shmei oihol, which means therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a moving oihol is considered an oihol, and therefore it prevents the tumah from getting to him, and therefore he has a way of getting into that basic varus. So actually, he said, nowadays, you have a big question as far as, so now we're going to discuss the question of the machloikas of whether oihol zoruk is an oil. Now, the Tosfos actually, one point is that Tosfos mentions even the opinion that oihol zoruk, shmei oihol, would only allow it when it's actually lying on the ground. So in other words, if the person was brought in there inside a cabinet, let's say, when the cabinet is on the ground, then you'd have the machlokas whether it protects him from the tumah or not. We have to be talking about, by the way, the cabinet itself is not makabel tumah because it's large enough. It holds at least 40 saw of dry measure or 60 saw of liquids, which therefore, if it's wooden, then it's not makabel tumah. So therefore, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would also protect him from tumah, whereas according to the Chachamim, would not. So Tosfos says, anyway, the point is that when it's being moved, then actually it wouldn't be blocking the tumah at all. Which, yeah, this is very relevant as far as the question, as far as planes, for example. Is a Kohen allowed to go in a plane that flies over a cemetery? Every so often, you have this comes up in the news, and there's been a great deal of discussion among the poskim about it in the last couple of generations. A car would be the same issue if it's traveling over Kvarim. I mean, the average, generally, when you're going in a car or a bus or whatever, you're not traveling over Kvarim. So if you have trees overhanging, that's a different question. Yeah, then maybe you have that concern. I don't know. No, but that's the point. If we say oil zodok lav shmei oil, if we say it's not considered an oil, then you still would be under the tree, which is also over a caver. So yeah, that's a good point also. But yeah, one question is, it comes up as far as planes. There are various poskim who find maybe there are hetedim for it. But for example, they have let's say for example, it was a big thing that a few years back they had El Al reroute some of their flight paths out of Tel Aviv Airport because they were going over a cemetery near there in Cholon or something, and it was creating a big problem, according to some poskim, for the kohenim on the planes. So, yeah. Okay. So, but my Kumiflugi, one thing to point out is if it's going over a Goyish cemetery, then there's less of a concern. You have the Reb Shimon says that Kivri Goyim are not Matame Ba'oiho, and the Halacha is like that, so it's only Jewish Kvarim that we have a concern. Okay. So, but my Kumiflugi, so Plugta Dahani Tanoi. So, therefore, so the Machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in our Mishnah is the same as the Machloikas of the following Tanoim, the Tanya. Hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim b'shida tevo migdol. If a person goes into the lands of the Goyim in a shida tevo migdol, midrabon on the lands of the Goyim are tomei because they bury people over there indiscriminately. It was not like nowadays where they bury people only davka in defined cemeteries. In those days, they could bury people anywhere. So midrabon on all of Eretz Amim is tomei. So suppose a person goes there in a shida tevo migdol. We say kivir goyim amatame b'mago hamasa. If you touch them or you carry them, you're still tomei. So okay, there is the Gemara mentions in some other places. I think we learned it in Shabbos that originally the gzera was that only the dirt of Eretz Amim is matame because there might actually be bodies or pieces of bodies or whatever in it, and afterwards they were matame the aver, the airspace of Eretz Amim as well. So for example, you ride a horse, or you go in there in a shita tevo or migdol or whatever, right? No, just I mean because again. So the Gemara discusses, I think, in some places. I mean, first of all, there is still the problem of tumas mess. There might be something over there that is matamim ba'oil. But also you have I think the Chachamim wanted to discourage koyanim, especially from moving out of Eretz Yisrael. The Alter Rebbe mentions in Tanya that on a deeper the pnimis in yonim, the idea is because the every place outside of Eretz Yisrael was full of klippos, and therefore it's tamei. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so Anichnas Le'eretz Amim B'Shida Tevo Migdol, Rebbe Metame, Rebbe Yosef Yehuda Metame. Rebbe says the person is still Tomei, Rebbe Yosef Yehuda says he's Tar. But my Kumiflagi, so what is the Machalikus? What we just said, Mar Sava Oyhol Zoruk Lav Shmei Oyhol. Rebbe holds that a moving Oyhol is not considered an Oyhol, so therefore the fact that he's in a Shida Tevo Migdol doesn't help, the Tumah still gets to him. Or Mar Sava Oyhol Zoruk Shmei Oyhol, whereas Rebbe Yosef Yehuda would hold that it is considered an Oyhol. Okay. Now, what about, we learn in a Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda says that another possibility of making an Eruv Trumin is you could use Truma Tahora for a Koyan who's Tahor, and you could put it on a Kaver. So now, with a Kaver, you don't have, so in other words, so the point is, it actually says, the Koyan and the Truma both have to be Tahor, otherwise, if he's Tomei, or the Truma is Tomei, then he can't eat it, and that's no good. It has to be Soda or Oya. So again, that's more logical to go according to Sum. It's more likely to go according to Sumchus, who says that it has to be Roy for him in the case where he's Tomei, but not necessarily. Again, Tosfos discusses a few days ago that a few blot ago that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would basically be like the Chachamim, but he would agree that it has to be Huvei Ruvei B'Makamecha, that at least your Eruv has to be in a place where you yourself are able to muto to go. So if he himself is Tomei, then right, then that, to say that he himself has to be Tahor would be specifically according to Sumchus. To say that it has to be Tahor would be according to everybody, because nobody can eat Truma Tomei. Even the Chachamim, who say that it's fine as long as somebody else could eat it, would say if the Truma itself is Tomei, then that's no good. Nobody can eat Truma Tomei. So a Kohen who's Tomei can't eat Truma Tomei either, right? Of course, Rashi points out he could use Chulin, but that there's less of a chiddush of that. The point is that even Truma Tahora, he's able to use and put it on the kaver itself. So we're going to discuss in a second how it itself doesn't become Tomei from the kaver. But the point is he's able to put it on a kaver. So the question is, Heichi Ozil. So how does he go over there? Now, the question is, in other words, the question is like this. Now, when it comes to the Beis HaKvaris, Rabbi Yehuda says he could go in a Shida Tevo Migdol. So there's no question, an individual kaver, you could also do that. You could also do that. He could also go to Shida Tevo Migdol. But the question is, how is he going and retrieving the food? How is he going and getting the food? As soon as he puts down the food over there on the kaver, it's Truma Tahora, it's going to become Tomei. So the answer is b'shaloi hochshara. One answer we could say is where the truma was not mukshar l'kabel truma yet. So it never became wet since it was picked with one of the shiva mashkim. Therefore, it can't be makabel truma. So yeah, you could put it on top of the kever and you have no problem. No. Only if it gets wet with one of the shiva mashkim. So with some, no, the Kohen himself is not allowed to go into the Beis HaKavodos, but Rabbi Yehuda allows him to go in an Ashita Teva Omigdo. We're saying now about the Truma itself. If he put Truma for his Eruv in a Beis HaKavodos, so on an individual Kaver, then we're saying that as long as it wasn't Mukshal Kabbal Truma, it won't be Makabal Truma. Or another possibility, let's say it was bread, but let's say it wasn't kneaded with water, it was kneaded with May Peiris. Same thing. It's not Mukshal Kabbal Truma. In fact, Tosfos says these two things might be one answer. It's not mukshar l'kabel truma because it was made with made payers. Okay. The hechi maisila. Okay. So the question is then, how does he retrieve it to get it? Now again, Rashi explains Rabbi Yehuda is going according to Sumchus, because again, otherwise we would have allowed a Kohen Tomei to use Truma Tahora because somebody else could eat it, like the Chachamim say. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda apparently requires that he himself be able to eat it. So the question is, how is he getting that food if he sticks out his hand out of the sheet of Tevo Omigdol to get it? Then he's going to become Tommy. So again, putting it, somebody else could get it. Somebody else could put it, but he himself has to be able to get it. The answer is, so first we're dealing with the question, actually, how he avoids making it tummy. And the answer is, b'pshute klei eitz d'loy mekabli tumah. What he does is he uses a plain wooden keli that doesn't have a receptacle, which therefore that's not mekabel tumah, and therefore it doesn't bring the tumah to him. If he used, for example, let's say a metal thing to pick it up, the metal thing would become tummy from the kever, and then it would be matame him. And then we're back to, he's a Kohen tummy, and he can't eat truma tahara. So he uses a plain wooden keli that cannot transmit the truma to him. And so so a pot would be matame him because it's a kli kibble, because it has a receptacle. We're talking about, let's say he'd use a wooden stick. He'd use a wooden stick to pick it up. Now, the question is, okay, but don't you have the problem that stick is an oihel over the kever? Now, midaraisa, that would only be a problem if it was a tefach wide. But we learned in Masech the Shabbos that there is a gzeder de rabbanon, that's one of the gzeders of the Yud Chastavar, that if the thing has a circumference of one tefach, even though the diameter is therefore less than one tefach, it's still metameh, it still brings truma to him. The case we had over there was, let's say, a farmer is walking along with his mardeya, which is a stick that you use to drive the oxen, on his shoulder. The stick has a circumference of one tefach, but the diameter is only one third of a tefach because it's round. And we say it still brings the truma to him. So then in that case, wouldn't you have the same problem over here? It's a gzeder de rabbanon, but so what? It still makes him tamei. It still makes him, when we say shvus, we're talking about you can be over on an isur de rabbanon of Shabbos in order to be able to get to the Eruv. This is not something having to do with Shabbos. This is a matter of truma v'tara. The answer is the maisilei achure. The answer is achude. Actually, it actually has the girsa. What you do is you pick up the food with the sharp point of it. In other words, you use a keli where the diameter of it, the circumference of it rather, is less than a tefach, and you pick it up. Let's say it's a sharp stick, and you pick up the food using that. So therefore, you're good. Now you have a way of getting it without the stick bringing the truma to you. Right, it means the entire stick can't be. And the point is, in other words, we're not talking about, the Gemara had thought that you're talking about a wider stick, and the answer is that you're talking about a narrower stick. Yeah, it'd have to be strong. Yeah, I guess so. Okay. So the question is, Yehoche my time of the Rabbanon. Fine, so you seem to have covered all your bases. Then why are the Chachamim saying you can't do that? Mela Beis HaKvaros, okay, there's no way of getting there except with a Shita Teva Omigdol, and the Chachamim hold, like Rebbe before, that's no good, that's not a valid oil to block the Tumah from him. But here we're talking about an individual Kaver, so he could go right near the Kaver. Actually, Tosfos points out, Midrabanon, you have a concept of four Amos away from the Kaver, but okay, fine, even that, he could stand outside the four Amos. That's four amas away from something. That's four amas from away from Soya or from Besakisa or whatever. That's a different thing. Right? Yeah, okay. All right. So anyway, so the point is that, so according to the Chachamim, why would there be a problem? Why would there be a problem? He could go until very close to an individual caver, and then be able to take a wooden stick and take it. The reason is Kasabri also likness bias be Soriana, because they hold there's a different issue over here. You can't make your home base for an Erev Truman be on something which is also Bahana. A caver you're not allowed to have Hana from. Therefore, you're not allowed to have Hana from it in this case by putting the Erev on it. No, that's not a mitzvah slav lahonis nickname. So, okay. So the question is, Miklal, did Rabbi Yehuda sava mutter? Evidently, then Rabbi Yehuda holds its mutter because kasava mitzvah slav lahonis nickname. Exactly that. We're saying making an Erev Truman is done for the purpose of a mitzvah. Mitzvah slav lahonis nickname. The fact that you're having Hana from it is not considered a Hana. Therefore, you're okay. Whereas the Chachamim would hold that mitzvah slav lahonis nickname. That's the point. In other words, if we say the fact that you're making an Erev Truman for the purpose of a mitzvah puts it under the rule of mitzvah slav lahonis. No. Okay. So the question is, Ela ha d'omar Rava mitzvah slav lahonis nitnu. What about though? We find that Rava says in Rosh Hashanah, in connection with a shofar, which is Rezman Groma now. So we mentioned this yesterday, but Rava gives an example over there. Let's say you have a shofar that came from an animal that was an oila. So it's also bana because it's hektish. But are you allowed to use that shofar to blow on Rosh Hashanah? Rava says yes. Mitzvah slav lahonis nitnu. So when Rava says that in lema katanoi amr l'shmaite, would that mean that Rava's statement is only according to Rabbi Yehuda and not according to the Chachamim? The answer is omalach Rava. The answer is Rava can answer you like this. Is viralahu de'ein ma'arvin elulad ma'mitzvah. If both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agree that you can only make an Eruv Tchumen only for the purpose of a mitzvah, let's say to go and hear the Rav's drasha, or to be Mavaka Cholim, or Menachem Avelim, or whatever, then to kula alma mitzvah slav lahonis nitnu. Then even the Chachamim would agree that it's fine, mitzvah slav lahonis nitnu, and therefore that you would be allowed to put the Eruv on a kever. Rather would be like this. Rabbi Yehuda holds indeed that you can only be ma'ariv for a dvar mitzvah, so therefore you're allowed to put it on the kever mitzvah slav lahonis. Whereas Chachamim would be holding that you could make an Erev Truman even for a dvar harashus, even just to go visit your friend in the next bungalow colony, and therefore that then you have the problem, then you do have hanav from it, and you have the problem that you can't have hanav from a kever. Well, so maybe b'dievet it would count, but the Chachamim are not allowing you to do it like a tchila. But the Rabbi Yehuda is allowing. Okay. So the question is, Ela ha d'amar Rabbi Yosef ein ma'arvin ela l'dvar mitzvah. So what about we find later in the Masechta where Rabbi Yosef says you can only make an eruv tchumen for dvar mitzvah. Based on this, it sounds like Rabbi Yosef is talking only according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to the Chachamim. The answer is Amalach Rabbi Yosef to Kula Alma Ein Ma'arvin El Ladvar Mitzvah. No, we can answer like this. Both of them agree that you can only make an Erev for a Dvar Mitzvah. Or to Kula Alma Mitzvah Slav Lahonis Nitnu. Both of them also hold Mitzvah Slav Lahonis Nitnu. The fact that you get Hana in the course of doing a Mitzvah doesn't matter. So what is the Machlokas? Ubaha Kamiflagi, so Rabbi Yosef can say, the machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is on the following point. Marasava kivin de konale Erev la nichale de mintra. Now, like this, the Erev takes effect at Bein Hashemashes. After that, do you care what happens to the food of the Erev? So Rabbi Yehuda holds that not. Once the Erev took effect at Bein Hashemashes, you don't care whether that Erev food is preserved because you don't actually need to eat it, it just needs to be there, Bein Hashemashes. So therefore, at that point, up until the Eruv takes effect, then we're not worried about the Hanah because mitzvah slav lahonis nitnu. After that, we would say that he doesn't care whether it's still preserved over there. So therefore, he's not having Hanah, and therefore we're not worried about it. Umar Sava nichalei demintura, whereas the Chachamim would hold, the fact is he does want it to be preserved. He does want it to still stay there intact. Deem itzrich achalei, because if he needs it, he does want to be able to eat it. So the Chachamim would say that he is actually having hana from, the kever after the point when he already accomplished the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah was accomplished only Bein HaShemashes when the Eruv took effect. So after that, he's having hana from the kever, which is also, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is saying that he's not having hana. At that point, he doesn't really care whether the food is still there or whether it gets lost or whatever. So if he's going to eat it, then yeah, but Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't necessarily have to eat it. It just it has to be able that he could eat it if he wanted, banish mashas. But yeah. Okay. Fine. The Mishnah says, Arvin b'dmai, you're able to make an eid of tchumen using dmai over my serishin shenitlo truma, so or my serishin where the truma smicer was taken out of it. Now there doesn't seem to be much of a chiddush in that. Once you took out the truma smicer, then you will then anybody's allowed to eat it. So we'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara we're going to have on this actually, the Gemara we're going to have on this Mishnah is going to be almost word for word something that we had in Brachas and in Shabbos. In Brachas we had it in connection with we had the whole list in our Mishnah about the question of whether a person can join in a mezuman. So the Mishnah had said over there, you can join in a mezuman if he ate d'mai or ma'isurish and shenitl tramasai, etc., but not if he ate tevel and the other things mentioned in our Mishnah. In Shabbos, we had it in connection with the din that if you need to clear a space, you have a storage house full of grain or what have you, and you need to clear a space for guests or for a beis medrash or whatever, what you're allowed to move and what you're not allowed to move in terms of the dinim of mukta. So in the Gemara over in each of those places goes through pretty much the same thing that we're going to go through over here. What is the chiddush in each of these things mentioned in the Mishnah? Okay, so with my Sirishin Chintatramasu, with my Sasheni Vahekdish Shiniftu, you're also allowed to make an Eruv with my Sasheni or Hekdish, which were redeemed. You paid in the case of my Sasheni, you exchanged it for cash, and now you're going to take that money to your Shalayim. In the case of Hekdish, you bought it back from Hekdish. Again, what's the chiddush? We'll see in the Gemara. Va'koyinim chala or truma. Koyinim are allowed to use chala or truma for their eruv. Now, according to the Chachamim in the previous Mishnah, that's not only they're allowed to, even a Yisroel would be allowed to also. The one reason why we mentioned koyinim using chala is because koyinim more commonly have chala available to them. A Yisroel could have it. He could have separated out the chala, but not given it to the koyin yet. But practically speaking, the koyinim more often have chala than the Yisraelim do. No, because challah is something that each person who makes dough gives to them. But practically speaking, you take challah when it's dough and give it. You usually give it right away to the kohen. So therefore, the kohen usually has it on hand more than the Yisrael does. Avaloy b'tevel. But you cannot make an eruv with tevel. Now again, what's the chiddush? Of course, you can't eat tevel. We'll see in the Gemara. V'loy b'maisurishin shenitzah truma. So you're not allowed to use maisurishin where the truma was not taken out. V'loy b'maisusheni v'hektish shloy niftu or maisusheni or hektish that were not redeemed. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Dmai Holei Chazilei. What do you mean you can make an Eruv Tchumen using Dmai? You can't eat it. Now, Tosfos mentions that, that on the face of it, the question is according to Sumchus. Because on the face of it, maybe the Gemara knows to begin with that poor people are allowed to eat Dmai. So therefore, so we're back to the machlokes of Sumchus and the Chachamim. Can you use something that somebody else could eat? Another possibility, Rishonim explain, is that maybe in fact the Gemara doesn't know at this point that Aniyim are allowed to eat Dmai either. Maybe the Gemara thinks nobody is allowed to, and in that case, then it's a soda that nobody can eat. Okay, so the answer is, Migo di boi mafkul hu l'nichse v'hava oni, since the person would be able to be mafkir his possessions and become poor, v'chazulei, and therefore that food now would be suitable for him, therefore we say, hashtanami chazulei, therefore even now that he hasn't done that, it's still considered as though it's suitable for him. So again, even sumchus might be okay with that. The same way as we said that sumchus is fine with wine for a nazir, because you can be matir neder, here you have the same thing, because he's able to change his status by becoming poor. The Tanan, as in fact we learn in a Mishnah, Machilinus Haniyim Dmai, you're allowed to give poor people Dmai to eat. You're also allowed to give achsanya dmai to eat. Rashi explains over here, and in some places, well, achsanya can mean guests, and the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayis actually understands it that way. But Rashi and Tosfos explain differently. Rashi over here and in other places explain that it means Jewish soldiers, where you have the quartered in the city, and the people of the city are required to give them food. So you're allowed to give them. They're allowed to give them dmai. Those soldiers are considered poor because they're not at home. Tosfos mentions in some other places that it could also be talking about goyish soldiers. So there's not that much of a chiddush that you're allowed to give them dmai, because of course they're goyim. The chiddush is that you wouldn't be allowed to give them tevel, because you are allowed to use tevel, but not in a way that's going to destroy it. Not in a way where afterwards the tevel won't exist anymore, as is true if you give it to somebody to eat. So in other words, you would be allowed to, let's say, use tevel for other purposes. Let's say, for example, you could maybe, let's say, this: the soldiers come to you and say, "We need X amount of grain for our animals or whatever." Maybe you'd be allowed to give it to them, but not for the animals. It's also being eaten. I don't know, but whatever. Let's say, yeah, but you can have a case, let's say, where tevel is not being destroyed. It's not being eaten. Then you'd be allowed to have hanah from it, but not when you're actually giving it to them to eat. So therefore, so tevel, you wouldn't, but demai, you would. Okay. Where nothing's been separated out. No truma, no maisa, no nothing. Demai is where you bought it from Amara. That's right. Right. Okay. Okay. So we see therefore that there are ways in which a Jew is allowed to eat demai, and therefore you're allowed to use it for an eruv. Amar Rav Huna, Tana, so Rav Huna says, you should know, we learn in a Braisa, it's actually Machlokas, Bishama, Ein Machil Nasaniyim Dmai, or Bishalim Machil Nasaniyim Dmai. So you should know, Bishama would disagree with this concept. Okay, now why do we need to know what Bishama holds? The Halacha, Bishama, Bishil, Bishil, Ein Mishnah anyway. The point is that if you ever find a Braisa that says that Aniyim cannot eat Dmai, then you should realize that's according to Bishama. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Maiserishin Shinit Lachola, we said you're allowed to use Maiserishin where the Trumas Maiser was taken out. So the question is Pshita. Obviously, once you took out the Trumas Maiser, it becomes complete, and anybody is allowed to, you give it to the Levi, but the Levi in turn is allowed to give it to anybody else to eat. It has no Kedusha. The answer is Loit Sricha Sheik Dima Bashibolin Vinitla Mimena Trumas Maiser, Vinitla Mimena Truma Gdola. What if the Levi came while the grain was still in its stalks and collected his maaserishin before? Now, when does it become chayiv in truma and maaser? Only when you did miruach, only after you threshed it and did all the processes of getting clean grain and made a pile of it and did miruach, smoothed out the sides of the pile, then it's gmar malacha, then it becomes chayiv in truma and maaser. Suppose the Levi comes at an earlier stage than that and takes his maaserishin, then we're saying, so now, out of that Maiserishin, he still has to give Trumas Maiser to the Kohen, but he does not have to give Truma Gdoila out of it. So it comes out, in that scenario, the Levi gets a little more and the Kohen gets a little less than he usually would. In a usual case, the way it works is the Kohen gets Truma Gdoila from the whole pile, which is about 2%. Then you take from the remainder, you take from the 98% that's left, you take 9.8 and give it to the Levi. The Levi in turn takes 0.98, 1/10 of that, and gives it to the Kohen. So the Kohen usually ends up with about 2.98, a little more, a little less, because you don't give Truma exactly 1/50, but whatever. It's in that range. In this case, you start by the Levi takes full 10%, not 9.8. He gives 1% of it to the Kohen. You, meanwhile, are giving, so far the Kohen has 1% of the whole crop. You are giving Truma Gdola from the remainder that you have, which is 90%, and you're taking out from it, you're taking out 1/150th of that. You're taking out 1/150th of 90, which would be 1.8% rather, and giving it to the Kohen. So the Kohen winds up in that case with 2.8% rather than 2.98 as he would have if things had been done in the normal order. So the Kohen ends up with a little less, and the Levi ends up with a little more. You, the farmer, end up with the same amount either way. Anyway, the point is, the chiddush is that if the Levi took his maaserishin before the Kohen came and took his truma, when it was bashibolin, when it was still in the stalks, then we're saying he does not have to take truma from that part that he got. And the point is that maaserishin is mutter to eat, is mutter to eat right away. The Chiddush Rabba Bohu, Amar Rish Lakish. And the reason why this works is based on what Rabba Bohu says in the name of Rish Lakish. Do Amar Rabba Bohu, Amar Rish Lakish, my serishin sheik dima b'shibolin. If my serishin is given while it's still in the stalks, before it ever became chayim and truma and maiser, potter me truma gdola. So that my serishin is potter from truma gdola. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, v'harei moisim imena truma sashem, maiser min ha-maiser. The Pasuk says you should take out the truma of Hashem, maiser, for the truma maiser, that is, Maiser min ha-maiser, 1/10 out of the 1/10. So we learn from that. Maiser min ha-maiser amati l'cha. So the Levi only has to give 1/10 out of the 1/10 that he got. V'lo truma gdola, trumas maiser min ha-maiser. He does not also have to take truma gdola from his maiserishin. So that's the point. In other words, our Mishnah is talking about where he went and got the full 10%, not 9.8%. He went and got the full 10% from the farmer while it was b'shibolim. He's giving out now 1/10 of that, 1%, to the Kohen. He doesn't have to do anything else. At that point, that maaserishin is mutter to eat. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. Therefore, that you can use that. He can use that for an Eruv, or anybody can use that for an Eruv, because anybody can eat it at that point. The question is, omelet a papa la baya. So the papa asks a baya if you're going to say that the pasuk is telling you that the Levi does not have to give truma from his maiserishin. Wouldn't the same thing apply even if the Levi came and took it when it was already in the pile of grain after miruach? And there we say that not. There we say the Levi does have to take truma out of his portion as well. So in that same scenario, if you have the Levi waited until after miruach and then came and took his 10%, then he has to give. Not only does he have to give, then he has to give 2% out of what he himself took to the Kohen as Truma, plus he has to give 10% as Truma Smeiser. So why don't we say that you don't have to take Truma from Meiser Rishon, as we just said, Meiser and Meiser. Amalei, so Rabbi answers him, Allah Amakra, to answer you. The Pasuk says, Mikol Masrisechem Tarimu Eskol Truma Hashem. The Pasuk continues and says, from all your Maisris, you should take the Truma of Hashem. Meaning that even from Maisrishin, sometimes you have to take Truma. So the question is, Umara Isa. So what's the logic to say? So we have the case where it was b'shibolim. We have the case where it was still in the stalks. We have the case where it was b'kri already made into a pile. What's the logic to say that specifically in the first case we say he's potter from giving truma and in the second case he's chayev? Maybe the other way around. Or Tosfa says the question is not why it should be the other way around. We can see the logic why it should be the way it is. The question is who says that the pasuk mikol masrisechem tarimu maybe is not talking about this question of the Levi giving Truma from his Maiser at all. Maybe it's teaching us a completely different din. Maybe we'd say in both cases, whether it was B'shibolim or B'kri, either way, the Levi never has to give Truma out of his Maiserishin. As far as Mikol Masrisechem, we learn a different din from that. Okay, so the answer is Hai Idgan V'Hai Lo Idgan. The logic is, when it's B'shibolim, when it's in the stalks, it has not yet been made into Dagon. So therefore, it wasn't yet chayev in truma. So therefore, it's more logical to say that the pasuk is telling us that then the Levi is potter from giving truma from it. As opposed to in the second case, it was already chayev in truma. The Levi came and took his before the Kohen did. So therefore, it's more logical to say that since it was already chayev in truma, that he should be chayev to take truma from it. We said in the Mishnah of Maaseh Sheni veHekdesh Sheniftu, we said you're allowed to use Maaseh Sheni or Hekdesh that were redeemed. So the question is Pshita. Obviously, if once they're redeemed, then they're Cholin. The answer is Loit Tzricha Shenosan as a Keren v'Loit Nosan as a Chaimish. The Chiddush is we're talking about he only paid the Keren in the when you're redeeming your own Maaseh Sheni or your own Hekdesh, you have to pay an extra Chaimish, an extra 25%. So the Chiddush is even if you didn't pay that yet, nevertheless, it still works. So we see from that, the point the Mishnah wants to tell us is the Chomish doesn't prevent it from taking effect. Midrabanan, actually, the Gemara mentions above Matzia that we sometimes do say that it does, but on a Daraisa level, at least, it does work to make it Cholin, and even Midrabanan were matter it for certain purposes, to eat on Shabbos and whatever, and therefore, so therefore it works. He's going to eventually have to pay the Chomish, but right now, at least, that Maaseh Sheni or Hekdesh is something that he's able to eat. We're talking about making an Erev Truman. We're talking about he takes that food that was Maaseh Sheni or was Hekdesh and makes an Erev with it, right? Okay. We said Avaloi B'Tevel, but we said you're not allowed to use Tevel. So the question is Pshita. Obviously, you're not allowed to eat Tevel. It's not Roy for anybody. Even Sumchus, even the Chachamim against Sumchus would have a problem with it because nobody can eat it. The answer is Lotzricha B'Tevel Tovel Medrabanan. The Chiddush is, we're talking about it's only Tevel in the first place, Midrabanan. For example, he planted it in a flower pot without a hole. Midaraisa, that would not be Chayev and Truma and Maisu at all. Only Midrabanan is it Chayev. Because Midaraisa, it has to be attached to the ground, right? So, Asutasa is called Turas Zarecha Hayotzah Soda. That goes out to the field, so yeah. But over here, it's not in the field, so therefore, so it's only Chayev Midrabanan. So nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling us, even though it's only also Midrabanan, nevertheless, it's still, you can't make an Erev with it. We said, we said you can't use my Sirishin where the Truma was not taken out of it. So the question is, again, Pshita, before the Levi takes out the Trumas Maisir for the Kohen, he's not allowed to eat it, and neither is anybody else. So of course, you can't use it for an Erev. No. A Kohen is not allowed to eat Tevel either. Even though Tevel has in it the Truma, which is going to be given to the Kohen is still also to eat Tevel. The same thing over here, as far as my tradition, if Truma's Meiser hasn't been taken out of it, nobody is allowed to eat it yet. So the answer is, Lloyd Sricha Sheikh Dima Bakriv and Notla Menatrumas Vinitla Menatrumas Maisa Blenitla Menatrumagdola. The case of the Mishnah is where the Levi first took the Maisa Rishon after the grain was already in a pile, after Miruach was done, and now the Levi separated out Trumas Maisa from what he got, but not Trumagdola, as we said before. It's a mau de tema, to omelet, a papa la baya. So without the Mishnah telling us, you would think maybe like a papa said to Abaya, maybe indeed the Levi doesn't have to give Tzuruma from that. Kamash Malon, Kedishani Le, therefore the Mishnah wants to tell us, like Abaya answered to him that no, in that case, we learn from the Psukim that the Levi, we learn from logic, Hai Idgan, V'hai Lo Idgan, that in fact the Levi does have to take both Trumas Meiser and Truma Gdola out of his Meiser Rishon before he can eat it. So therefore, if he only gave Trumas Maaser from it, only the 1% of the original, that he's going to give the 10% of what he got, that he's going to give the Kohen, but he doesn't also take out the 2% for Truma, then no good, he can't eat it and neither can anybody else. As opposed to when he had gotten it b'shibolim, that was the first part of the Mishnah, where there we say he only has to take out Trumas Maaser and not Truma Gdola. Because in Shibolim it was never Mechoyev, exactly right. Okay. We said, V'loibu Maaser Sheni v'Hektish le'Niftu, you're not allowed to use Maaser Sheni or Hektish that were not redeemed. So the question is pshita. Obviously, if they weren't redeemed, you're not allowed to use them. The answer is loitzricha shepdon v'loipdon kehochasan. The chiddush is he was poed to them, but he didn't do it according to the proper halachas. Namely, ma'aser shepdoy agav asimon. In the case of ma'aser sheni, the case could be that he tried to redeem it using an uncoined blank piece of metal. That doesn't have the image of the coin on it, and that doesn't work. But Rachmana Omer v'tzarta akesef. If the pasuk says that the pasuk says v'tzarta akesef, and the symbol meaning v'tzarta means you should bundle up the money and take it to Yerushalayim. But the Gemara explains that v'tzarta is also malashon tzura. It has to have an image on it. It has to have a real. It has to be real coined money, right? So kesef sheyesh alav tzura, it has to have an image on it. Now, of course, it doesn't have to have an image of a person like the way the Goyim's coins do. It could be they found coins from the times of the second Beis Mikdash from the various Jewish kings that have different designs on them. They have pictures of a fruit. They have pictures of they're pictures of Kalim of the Beis Mikdash, whatever. But it has to have some kind of image. It has to have some kind of thing that it was actually coined to be used as money. What? The Gemara mentions in a couple of places, Menachem Bereb Simoi, I think it was, who never looked at the image on a coin because most of them were images of Avodah Zarah. So again, he would say it has to be some kind of. No, he would feel it, I guess. Yeah, he would feel that. Yeah. Okay. And Hektish, Chiloloy or Gavkauka. In the case of Hektish, the scenario could be that he was Machal using land, and that doesn't work. You have to use Metaltlin, the Rachmana Omer, but Nosan Akesef, a Kumloy. The Pasuk says only when you give the money, so it has to be something that you can give from hand to hand, then become loy, then he's able to keep the thing, and it's not Hektish anymore. Then you actually don't have a Pasuk that says in those words, Nosan Akesef, a Kumloy. But Tosfos in Shabbos explains that the Gemara is taking parts of a couple of psukim in Parshas Bechukosai and combining them together to make this lashon. So being mechalal hektish on land does not work, and it still remains hektish. So the point of our mission, therefore, is since it's still hektish, you can't use it for your eruv. Hektish shechilloy al gav kauka. The case with hektish, where our Mishnah is saying that you can't use it for your eruv, is talking about where you were mechalal it using land. So you have something that's worth $100. You say, okay, I'll give hektish $100 worth of land, and then I'll have this thing back. That doesn't work. To be mechalal hektish, you have to use money or something. You have to use kesef or shava kesef, but it has to be metaltlin. So if you have $100 worth of cash, or you have $100 worth of food or whatever, then yeah, you can be mechalal the hektish with that, but not with land. Because v'nos and akesef v'kam loy, you have to be something that you can give from hand to hand. And land, you can't do that. Right. So that's what the Mishnah means. In other words, the Mishnah doesn't mean you weren't mechalal at all. There's no chiddush. It means you were mechalal, but you didn't do it the right way. And therefore, it's still also tea. By the way, the Rambam mentions a concept that if you have Ma'aser Sheni, which you didn't redeem, you could use it for an Eruv Tchumen in Yerushalayim, because in Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni. I'm not completely sure how that would work, because the Eruv has to be placed outside the city. If you place it inside the city, it doesn't take effect anyway. Maybe what the Rambam means is, therefore, you'd be able to use it for Shittuf Mavoyas, because the dinim of Eruv Tchumen and Shittuf Mavoyas are basically the same. as we said a few days ago. So maybe that means that you could use it for that. Or maybe like you'd be able to put it like right outside the wall or whatever, and then you'd still be able to carry it in on Shabbos and eat it. Right, but no, if you brought it into your shalayim, then you can't. But let's say like you live right outside the wall and you put it over there, maybe, I don't know. Or actually, come to think of it, I guess another example, a simpler example would be if the person lives outside your shalayim and he puts his Eruv Tchumen in your shalayim in order that your shalayim should be his home base for Shabbos. That would work, I guess. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow with the Mishnah Be'ez Hashem. Shkach. Well, Daf Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet are short. Well, yeah, well.